Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
As an American, one of the most important documents to my country is the Constitution of the United States. This was a document, in large part, written at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. At that convention, Benjamin Franklin reminded the delegates of the great dependence that we as mankind have on God, our Creator. Now, referring to Matthew 10 and verse 29, he said, "God governs the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" The question was designed to make a statement, and a very clear statement at that. With our constantly growing pool of wisdom and abilities, we sometimes forget how dependent we are on the goodness of God. Today's lesson is designed to remind us that God is truly the giver of every good gift, and that among those gifts is life itself. It's been a study through the book of John by looking at the statements of our Lord, where he claims to be many things. We have centered in on the two words, "I am." In fact, our first lesson centered around John chapter 8 and verse 58, where Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." We've learned that Jesus, by this statement, was claiming the unique nature of the self-existent God, that no one created him, but rather he is the creator of all things, as we are told in Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. We also notice that Jesus claimed in John 10 and verse 36 to be the Son of God, for he came to this earth as a son, one subject to the Father, and coming for our good. We notice from John 10 and verse 9 that Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is that place of safety. Jesus is that door to salvation, and claimed such as he walked this earth. We also notice that Jesus in John 8 and verse 12 said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus has offered us life. He has made it possible for us not to go through this world aimlessly stumbling along, but rather he has provided for us a lighted path, a path of glorious light that makes us happy and abundant while here and offers us a home in heaven in the end. We also noticed from John 10 and verse 11 that Jesus claimed to be the Good Shepherd and said the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He proved that he was that good shepherd when he went to the cross on Calvary, when he died for your sins and for mine, showing that he came and gave his life for the sheep. We then notice from John 14 and verse 6, a very common passage, one that gives us great comfort and great hope. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is for this reason that we study the Christ and his message and center our lives around obedience to him and to his word. And finally, we noticed that Jesus told the sister of Lazarus, who was at that time dead, but would soon be alive again, that "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." There is a life beyond this physical one. It is a life where Jesus, the source of life, can make us alive forever. We're going to take our text from John chapter 15 and verse 1. Here Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." We understand from this that Jesus is claiming to be unique. "I am the true vine." This means that he is the only one and that there are false vines. If such were not the case, it wouldn't be necessary for him to show us that he is the true vine. A vine in these days and to these people would represent that which gives life. Specifically, that which gives life and provides nourishment to the branches. Jesus is going to talk about the branches in just a moment, and he's talking to each one of us when he does. He's talking to his disciples on this particular occasion, and he refers to each one of them as branches and tells them if they abide in him, that they will bear fruit and be pleasing to him. But if they fail to abide in him, if they fail to bear fruit, they will be cut away from him and be cast into the fire. Now, these people were farmers, and they tended vines and took care of vineyards. They understood exactly what our Lord was saying, and we all understand that today. If we have a tree that is healthy and growing, yet one of the branches becomes dead and no longer produces, we don't leave it on the tree. We trim it off and we throw it away. If we leave it on the tree, then it will damage the rest of the tree. These people understood that. So Jesus was giving them a lesson they could clearly understand. Jesus also is trying to warn us that there will be those who will try to show themselves as being the vine, being givers of life and providers of nourishment, but they won't be the true vine. Instead, they will try to look and sound like the true vine while not being able to deliver the promises that they make. I'm reminded of Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Here Paul was warning them about people who had come and, first of all, had challenged his apostleship, then had denied the fact that he was a true apostle, and had tried to elevate themselves to a position of being apostles. He calls them apostles, but he says they're false apostles. Many men today will not accept Jesus and his word. Instead, they elevate themselves and their own doctrines above him. They try to provide some method, some plan, by which man can be saved, but not accepting the method that Jesus has given us. These men are false teachers. They're not true sources of life. Rather, they lead men away. They lead us away, and they lead us to destruction. We must reject them and keep our eyes focused constantly on the Christ, the one who did come and die for us. If we do that, then we'll understand and know and obey, and we will receive the rewards that Jesus has offered, because he is capable of delivering the wonderful things that he has promised. Now, Jesus is capable of delivering on those promises because he has within him life. In John 14:6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." That life is within him. John 11:25, "I'm the resurrection and the life." We looked at these the last couple of weeks, and I want us to be reminded of them, for no other person can make that claim truthfully, that "I am the source of life." Yet Jesus can make that claim. He intends for us, as branches, to graft ourselves into him, to become connected to him, the vine, by obedience to his word. When we do, he provides that life for us. He gives us eternal life. And while it is true that even Christians will die physically, that life will pass, according to Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. That physical death will come. It's appointed. But there is a spiritual life on the other side for the one who is a faithful child of God while here. We need to understand that Jesus here in John 15, by showing himself as the true vine, is both offering us the blessings that come from him and warning us against those who would promise great blessings but not be able to deliver them. Now, we mentioned, and I would like to refer back to it again just briefly, that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to individual people here. Some have misunderstood this passage to mean that Jesus is the vine and the various branches are various religious groups that may not teach or believe the right thing or the same thing, but rather they're all different branches grafted into the same vine. The passage here simply does not teach that. Rather, we find Jesus is talking to individuals, and when he is giving us a choice of life or death, of obedience or disobedience, of salvation or doom, it is always an individual choice, never a choice to be made as a group. Notice 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. "We must all," that's each one of us, "appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." This is an individual matter. You and I are presented with a choice, with the option of being obedient to Christ and grafting ourselves into that vine, into the true vine, the life-giving vine. And if we do, No man, and Satan himself, cannot cut us away. Only we, by our obedience, can graft ourselves in, or by our disobedience, cut ourselves off. God, in His love and His mercy, makes that vine available to us at all times. All we have to do is be willing to humble ourselves and be obedient to Him. I find great reassurance in the fact that no man has the power to pull me away from Christ, but I also find great warning in the fact that I can choose to leave Him. Let's all make the decision that we want that life. We want to be grafted into that true vine that He offers. We want to have the blessings that come through Jesus. We want that home of eternal life. I also hope that you've enjoyed this lesson from the book of John, looking at the I Ams of Jesus. Each of us, by seeing the picture that the Bible draws of Jesus, can have a much clearer understanding of His love for us, the reason that He came and died for us, have a better understanding of the magnitude of His sacrifice, and also understand more clearly why we should submit ourselves to Him. I hope you found the messages encouraging and strengthening, and I hope if you haven't already turned to Jesus in obedience to His Word, that you will do so, and that you will do so soon.